Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Again!
Tom freshly screams towards Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Oh, what have we here?
Go fuck yourself. And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, NBs, this is the Federation Friends Podcast. Wait a minute. This is the ESC Podcast, your weekly AEW review and breakdown. This is Eat Sleep Elite. I am one half of your hosting duty, the Digital Duke, the Digital Phantom, also known as... And with me today is... How are you doing today?
Bill Nye the Science Guy!
That was pretty good. Loud.
And that actually might not play through because it was so loud, but...
Bill Nye the Science.
Doing all right. Blackhawks got their first win. Look, things are going well. How about yourself there, Corporal Punishment?
Right now, the Colts are 5-1, which is, I mean, best record of any team of our friend group, which I did not have on my bingo card this year, 6 weeks into the season, but hey. Lock in, Danny Dimes is the GOAT. Anthony Richardson was never the unicorn. He was always a fraud. And yeah. So look, I love the guy, but he's a fucking moron on the field. I'm sorry. Not as big of an idiot as Adonai Mitchell, though.
Hey, that's just the way it goes sometimes, though, right? But you know what? It feels like there's a little bit of a different energy in the air. And maybe that's because it's pay-per-view week. Duke, I think sometimes it just, even if you're not expecting it, once you know you got that pay-per-view, kind of that golden star at the end of the week, it gets a little exciting. And it's
well,
none
we
other
know
than
one match we're for sure getting. That's going to fuck. I mean, it's going to fuck. Is Darby versus the fucking final, the final showdown between Darby and Mox. Is
yeah.
Gonna be. I mean, we already had the flamethrower tease, so Mox is probably getting set on fire. That match alone, I mean, is this the kind of match, we talk about this all the time, that maybe should go on after the main event because it's going to be so insane, you know, because we don't want to take away from any of the previous matches by
maybe
having it go on before, because it is going to be one of the best matches of the night, even if it's not, like, technically the best match of all time.
I quit!
It's going to be one of the best I quit matches of all time, because it's literally the guy who won't quit in Darby Allin, and the guy who would rather die than quit in Moxley. It's the two perfect guys you would put in a match like this. It's like, what was that one in WWE they did back in the day? Was it like Batista and somebody or something weird? Like, and it was really good because it was like big monster meaty man who doesn't, who, why would he ever quit? You know, he'll rather die. And somebody who you would think would not be able to beat them in a match like that. I'm sure the David versus Goliath of it all, the Goliath didn't win, but I forget who it was. There was one that was perfectly like basically a similar vibe to this, you know? So I'm so down for that. I'm sure we'll get like, I just can't think of the matches off the top of my head as we go through. I'm sure there were some more announcements that I just didn't like click into my head, you know, but I'm sure as we get closer to the show, like throughout the next week, as we get more stuff added, it's going to be like, oh shit, we got some shit going on. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So,
and before we get the show started, we got to give a congrats to Konosuke Takeshita, IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, Konosuke Takeshita. We saw it coming. I think it's the writing's been there, right? I mean, because we were kind of projecting.
I mean, ever since he signed the dual contract, yeah, it was like, it's going to be within the next 2 years.
This
it's
is,
gotta
and
be.
It just, it feels like they didn't fuck it up. Just, they, so I'm happy that they didn't do that. Let him just beat Konosuke Takeshita.
I mean, you had fucking, wasn't it fucking, Tanahashi was fucking crying during this guy's match? Like,
I think so, yes.
I think he decided he was making him his world champion in that moment, you know?
But it all feels right and all feels as it should right now with him as the world champion. I'm so excited. Haven't had a chance to watch the match yet, but
we'll definitely
sure
do that this weekend.
I'm sure it's
for sure.
Awesome to catch the saber. Exactly. I'll definitely watch that before Wrestle Dream.
100%.
But we had to give a shout out and a congrats to Konosuke because,
but,
you know, I remember we joked like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
That wasn't really a joke because we were saying, is AEW just kind of wasting time with Takeshita? Like, everyone knows he could be a top guy. And we were saying maybe he's going to win the... But this is before the signed contract happened. We were like, New Japan's going to swoop him up. Like, there's no way they don't. He is when it comes to these newer generation of Japanese stars. he's far and away the fucking most advanced already. And it's just like, he won the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship before the AEW one. And I definitely don't think he's going to win the AEW Championship now. I think we're going to see him transition to Japan more likely pretty soon full time. But he deserves it. I mean, he deserves it so much. He is the alpha. I mean, he's the guy, you know?
I think he's also proving that he can do this dual thing. I don't think it's ever going to be like, maybe the next contract he signs won't be one with also AEW, and maybe it'd be smart for him to do that given how much success he's had already in New Japan. But like, at least for now, until whatever that deal is that he signed with both companies is up, which I would hope is multiple years, you know?
Yeah, I would say it's been like 65-35 and be in the favor. I think that we're going to see that
it could shift back needle the other way. Switch we, a little we've bit. Seen, like, there was a year where Jack Perry was in Japan for, like, the first half of the year more than he wasn't. So, you know, like, we can do that, and it's fine as long as we still
absolutely.
Get
him. Yeah.
And as long as he's still being mentioned on AEW, like, when he's in the tournaments and stuff, you know, like, so that we don't, like, lose track
of and, him, hey, one we're of our seeing him wrestle. We saw him wrestle this week. We're seeing him wrestle at the pay-per-view. So he's still here. Oh, my God. If he busts out this, if he's in America tomorrow,
no, that's
and
what I'm he saying. Busts he needs out to this be title. Here. For Wednesday with the title, he has to be. It'd be silly not to do it. It would be so silly not to do it. They need to do a title celebration. This is the thing they've been building up with toward him since they got him in the family. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
when we were previewing the family last week, too, we spent like a good 20-25 minutes talking about the Don Callis family. We kept saying
the best faction in AEW right now.
Takeshita, he might be holding the biggest belt next time we see him. And lo and behold, he is. So, holy shit. The Don Callis family. Oh, my God. I mean, it's everywhere. You're going to see them in New Japan, in CMLL, in Maple Leaf Pro, everywhere. The Don Callis family will fucking
look, and
follow.
If anybody doesn't think that the reason why we're doing this setup for Okada versus Takeshita in AEW is not so that at WrestleDream this coming year, we can do Okada versus Takeshita. Anyway, you're out of your gourd. You know what I mean? I don't care if they don't like Okada anymore. They're out of their gourd if they don't do that match. You know, like, so.
Oh, my God. Imagine, okay, if you put that title on the line and the IWGP World Heavyweight.
Oh, no. He's facing him at WrestleDream for the world title, is what I'm saying.
I meant
Wrestle Kingdom, my bad. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Wrestle Kingdom next year. I'm at the beginning of the year next year at Wrestle Kingdom. I mean, they can do
the
match. Not at WrestleDream, but at the next pay-per-view or whatever. But like, or like the AEW version, I should say, like where it's for that title or whatever. But that isn't going to be the full match. The whole idea there is going to be setting up for the future, obviously, for the world title, you know, because I think that writes itself if you're New Japan. Yeah. Even if you have an issue with Okada, like I would work that issue out with a big ass payoff if I had to, you know?
Wins the G1, and then what? 3 months, 2 months later, wins the world title, sets up a complete open. I mean, as far as I know, Wrestle Kingdom's completely open now, so. Well, again, they might have technically done something at the show. I just don't. I haven't got around to it. But yeah, this is going to be really cool, and I'm very, very excited for him because that's got to mean a lot. So, yeah, Duke. I guess with that being said, let's get into some of our favorite things today.
Sure, sure, sure.
And you have to go fast. Ah.
Yes. All right. So kicking us off on favorites this week, you know. There was like one really solidly good match on Dynamite this week. I mean, they were all good. This one was the best one, though, in my opinion. And it was Pac versus Orange Cassidy. The technical bastard taking on the master of the head games. Sorry about that. My mic was having a malfunction there.
The technical bastard is
crazy.
Fifth time they've had a singles match against each other.
Yep. Styles are making fights between these two. Obviously, you have like the absolute serious fucking, I'm fucking crazy. I'm crazy. Versus, yeah, I could give a fuck. I just win.
What do you think of his new look? Sorry to just completely.
It's fine.
It looks cool, right? It looks different.
I mean, it's different. It's like a cross between like Adrian Neville and like the King of the Cruiserweights era.
It doesn't look like him. I don't know how to describe it. I feel like I'm looking at someone else.
NXT, but then they had him like cut his hair, you know, like obviously to this level when he got to like the main roster or whatever. He had that little period where he was Neville on the main roster, but like when he came back, this is what he looked like roughly. I mean, with a little bit longer hair, maybe like what he had recently. He always comes back with a slightly different look, though. I feel like at least at AEW, which I'm down with. You know, he looks very much like a dude right now, which is fine. You know, I mean, if you're a dude that can do the things the Pac could do, you know,
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think once Cassidy really kind of started amping up, it's kind of shot out of a gun. It was pretty cool. There was this tombstone spot on the stage that everyone just reacted like someone got murdered to. But then, as trying to take advantage of this, Darby appeared out of nowhere like a wizard and handcuffed him to the stage. And this was one of the better beat 10 counts, in my opinion, recently in AEW, because he, you know, I assume he had a key in his pocket or something, you know, but like, it's still cool, you know, like, because he gets away and then he gets beats the 10 count, immediately gets brought into the Casa Dora, gets locked down for the win, and then they go to attack Cassidy after the match, and then the post-match we'll get to in a second. But yeah, Charlie, just, you know, I mean, Pac versus Orange Cassidy, really technical, but also really well wrestled. Orange Cassidy obviously hitting his DDTs and shit like that. That tombstone spot, I think Cassidy actually sold it like he did just get shot or something, you know, like, I mean, Orange Cassidy does these subtle things sometimes. Like, Pac's over. They love this guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you can love him that 1% more if Cassidy just does this for him, you know what I mean? And that's, I love the knowing that. And he also just wanted to take a gnarly spot, you know?
Great table show. Spot. They have such great chemistry together. I love when these two guys are tingling in the ring, you know, just let them do their thing together. They, like you said, those opposing styles. And I don't know what it is about Pac. Maybe it's the singlet. Maybe it's something. But he feels like a different wrestler to me right now. And I think that's fantastic. I think at his core, we know it's him. But, you know.
Is it the travel is why we'll never get like a real full Pac run? Like that we could. Because no, he milked it, you know. Like you could really get something out of it.
I think there's always opportunities. And he's in a very important spot, especially being a part of the Death Riders. So anything's possible with him. But yeah, I just thought he had a great comeback performance here. Just kind of, you know, from 181 days since his last match is what I'm looking at here. So it looked great. So, yeah, I really enjoyed this. This is a good, very good Dynamite main event.
All right. So I mentioned earlier that the fucking, was that pre-show or was that? Yeah. It was when we were talking about the pay-per-view hype. So the post-match of this, I mentioned they tried to attack Orange Cassidy here. Darby mm-hmm. Allin comes back with a taser. Jesus fucking Christ. And I thought that was crazy. The motherfucker goes to the back of the bag and pulls out a Molotov cocktail and tries to light it. Which, AEW does Chekhov's guns like this. But all three of these things, the flamethrower, the Molotov cocktail, and the fucking taser are going to be used at the pay-per-view. That's what's happening. Someone's dying. Probably Jon Moxley. Or Darby's going to be hit with a flamethrower while already on fire from a Molotov cocktail and then be tased at the same time. That could happen. They could just kill the guy. No, but I mean, what are your thoughts on the taser and the Molotov cocktail? I mean, when the taser was like, okay, I could see
Darby
having a taser.
Going to do whatever possible to put that dog down. That's where I'm at.
Do you think Jon Moxley's losing then? I mean, we're not doing predictions right now, but
I don't know. You never know with this guy, right? But Darby's going to do whatever he can.
He's going to do Darby Allin things.
Yeah. So
elbow drop off the top of Everest inbound.
It's going to be
fucking. I can't believe the motherfucker cut a promo on Jon Moxley on top of Mount Everest. What a fucking badass.
God, man. I mean, in an alternate universe where this is for our world championship. Do you imagine the fucking anticipation going into this?
I'm so glad it's not that Hangman finished the story.
No, yeah, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm just saying.
But if it was, I mean, if they had actually pulled the rug on us and Hangman didn't win and Hangman went back to being a heel or something and then Darby was going to be the babyface champion, oh my God, can you imagine the hype heading into this match?
God, it's so good. Such
and
good
in theory,
shit.
They would have pulled it three or four more times because he wouldn't have won the matches he's won against John since he's been back. You know, he would have lost all those. This would be so much buildup. Oh my God. If we were in fucking October with John still as champion, I don't know what the fuck I would do.
Well, I guess we'll take a trip now to Collision. We'll go to the main event of Collision for my favorite. And we got a fun little mixed tag match here. We have Megan Bain and FTR, Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler versus Willow Nightingale and Jet Speed with Mike Bailey and the Jet, Kevin Knight. So, yeah, they brought out Penelope. They brought out Stokely. You know, we got our whole shebang, if you will. on the sidelines.
Collaboration here. And conglomeration, civilian affiliated fighters, yeah, or whatever the fuck they were called.
So, I mean, I don't know if they taped this immediately after Dynamite or if they taped it like the next night or whatever. If either way, what this is, I was impressed by this. Willow Nightingale got the loudest reaction of the fucking 4.5 hours of television we had this week. I think that shows if Daly's Place is AEW's homeland, right? If this is their home crowd, that's your hometown hero right there. It's Willow Nightingale. I think that meant a lot. And I hope that that's heard backstage. Like, she is one of one, dude. Like, she is great. And I think the crowd was really excited for this match, seeing it on paper. Willow, of course, looked great with Megan Bain.
Dude, I just got a great idea for this homecoming show every year. Since we're going to be in Daly's Place once a year anyway, why don't we do a Daly's Place tournament and the winner gets like a title shot of some kind, like TNT or something like that?
Yeah, you definitely could.
Dude, imagine that, a TNT title tournament that culminates at homecoming. That would be huge.
Yeah. So it would be great. It'd be great.
The Homecoming Classic or something, you know? Daly's Place Classic, something like that, you know? That'd be cool.
So what I'm interpreting from last week's encounter between the two, I believe Dax gave Cash some advice on how to deal with the Jet. And instead of, like, trying to out-tire him or anything like he tried to do last week, he just said, we're grounding this son of a bitch. We're going to do everything we can to bring him down. He goes to the top, chop him off. We're not giving him a single chance in this ring to show off his athleticism. So, you know, of course, when he's able to, he hits that beautiful shotgun drop kick and it sets up that Willow Nightingale cannonball and really good stuff overall. Just an enjoyable match. He had Penelope Ford and Megan Bain hit a doomsday device on Willow, and Bain pinned her behind the ref's back is where they hit that move. And Megan Bain got the pin here. So, yeah, I'm still thinking Megan Bain and Penelope Ford, just based on the booking this week. I feel like every week we can kind of update this. I think that's my favorites for the tag titles. The first winners is Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. A win in the main event using their tag team finish. I don't know, man. To me, they're the favorites right now. I can't wait to see who Willow teams with. Again, is it going to be Harley Cameron who came down, made the save? Because I also said, I think whoever teams with Harley Cameron, she's got a lot of options. Basically the entire roster.
That would be one of the most over women's tag teams you could put together, because Harley's incredibly over and Willow's incredibly over. Yep. And neither of them really have a gimmick that proclivates them from, you know, going with anybody, no, really, for that matter. So, you know, like, it's, yeah.
So I like the pairing. Again, I think that friends to enemies thing with Mercedes could be the most money, but maybe you can save that for a little bit if you want. Duke, what'd you think of this match? I think yet again, FTR, it doesn't matter the style of match. They go out there, they have a fucking awesome match and another main event of Collision, continuing their prowess of tag team of the year. And Willow getting that shine that we know she wants, and Megan Bain taking advantage of this opportunity. So I think everyone came out of this looking great. It was a good main event. What'd you think of this thing?
Yeah, I would echo everything you just said. I mean, it was really solid. I mean, Jet Speed have basically not missed. I think they're basically 1A and 1B for your breakout stars of the year this year. It's going to come down to, like I said to you earlier, basically who you like more.
You could almost toss, you could be like your top three favorites are in this match, because you could toss in Megan Bain.
Agreed. Or Tekla, who's not in this match as well. There's a few options you could go with this year, but like, I think the two front runners to me still are Jet Speed, because I mean, A, they became a tag team that is now more than likely not going anywhere, maybe ever, you know, in AEW. It might just be one of those perma tag teams, you know, that they may go off and do single stuff, but this is a tag team they're always going to go back to. I still don't even hate Willow being like a tertiary member of that group, even if she's still conglomerating. Like, Willow's also done that with other people before too. She's about to probably do it with Harley or whoever she tags with in women's. So it's like, yeah, I mean, all the elements here pretty much are kind of all the flavors that like make up a really good Collision main event. You got intersecting stories, but you also have kind of stories that make sense to intersect. Top Gods is going to be a faction, I suspect. I don't think they're just going to leave that on the table.
Do you know FTR? They desperately, I can't imagine they don't want to do a faction one more time before this contract ends.
There just hasn't been one that ever got off the ground, really, you know?
That's why I feel like Dax is going to want to be like, we have to do it at least one more time.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I agree.
I have to be
I think it would be great. So
he's always chasing he wants to be great and be remembered for different things. And I think the Pinnacle is the only stain on his record in AEW. Like, so it's that would either deter him from trying it again, or let's fucking run this back, man. Let's do this thing. Let's build one up with Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. If you want to talk about first round draft picks, can't go wrong with those two. So,
yeah, I mean, I would say that my biggest takeaway from this is I think I don't know like who I really need to see the brackets before, and I'm surprised we're waiting until after the pay-per-view to start this women's tag tournament, but I'm guessing they just want to make it. It's probably going to be like other tournaments, and my only concern is C2 is going to be in the next few months as well, you know? So, like,
yeah,
we don't really want those to cross.
Now, my biggest worry, though, because I think it was after this match,
because we could have like six tournament matches a week for a while, and that would be brutal, yeah. You know, like,
I don't they know announced that, that the tailgate brawl, we're going to have Willow and Harley versus Megan and Penelope. I hope they don't do a thing where they're like, this is the first match of the tournament. Well, no, stop. No.
Yeah, I just I
give us a bracket, a real bracket.
It's probably only going to be like four teams based on this, and it'll be short because I don't think they have enough time to do it and then not distract from the C2. Because let's be real, and that sucks for this tournament because it means this tournament's not going to get the love that it could possibly get. They should have just launched it as soon as they made the announcement, dude. They really should have, and it should have been culminating at the pay-per-view. I know they had other stuff they wanted to do, but let me tell you why it's going to suck is when this tournament's fucking 3 weeks. And the matches are all great because they're all putting their balls to the fucking wall, you know? I guess I don't have balls, but, you know, like, whatever. Like, you know, like, and then we could see what it could have been. And then we'll be happy that the C2 is great, but there's no way they let this cross over with the C2.
That's
and
why you
they
just do, let this also culminate a bad decision. Gear.
Like, there's no, it's kind of a fucking shitty position to be in that you're pushing this till after the pay-per-view unless you're just going to make 1 month just this tournament. And I already talked about why I don't want that because then it's six tournament matches a week.
Yeah, the hope, the only thing I can hope now is they announce after that match at Tailgate Brawl what the bracket's going to be, and it culminates at Full Gear. And they get a whole pay-per-view cycle, right? Because then that would give the in-between time from Full Gear to Wrestle Dream or whatever, or World's End for your C2. So, yeah, I just don't want them to do it in the moment. Hey, this is your first match. No, man, let's have fun with this tournament. Let's make brackets.
And we should at least have a week with the bracket. We always get it.
Post
like
your brackets on social media. Post versions of it where people can fill out their own. Do a thing with
true.
It. Promote it on Instagram, everywhere. Like, who do you think will be the first champion, right? You could even do like a thing with Mercedes and special partner. Who's the partner going to be? Like, you can do all of this if you want. And it's so fucking easy. Just, you know, the whole thing with the women's tag titles. You have to have someone in the back that cares. And if they fuck up this tournament, I'm telling you, I don't know what to
do. I know.
No
it's
one
a bad
cares
sign.
Then.
This is already not looking good. You know, like it sucks because I was an advocate for this for the last 2 years on this podcast. And I'm afraid now that everything I've invested into this is going to be fucking thrown into the dirt like it has been in the past with these tag titles, you know? Because I've seen too many good women's tag matches on shows where men's tag matches were just fine, but they were fucking killer because they don't get matches half the time, you know? And, like, I just think AEW can be the place where they can make it work, if anybody ever anywhere could.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, look, they have the seeds because we have Blood and Guts, right? And so I just don't know where they're going to tie it all in together. That's where it gets dicey. And like
that's the other thing. We're doing Blood and Guts before the end of the year too, and so they have to tie up a bunch of the women in that, so they can't
so
be in the tournament
think,
probably. Then that,
it
that's
makes you
why
think
I
Duke
push the tournament probably till next year. I hate to say that, but it might be the only way you could actually give it the time that it needs.
And this is why I say they blew their load announcing this. We've had the titles. Like the rumor was, the titles have been done for over a year, right? That's the rumor. Why announce it now? Why do it now? Wait, after Blood and Guts, if you announce these fucking titles and you announce this tournament and I don't know. There's hundreds of different things we could throw at the wall here. Luckily, we don't really have jack shit for news. So I guess we'll fucking, let's get through this news real quick. We don't have much. Oh my God, I only have two stories. Follow up to Santos Escobar. In the wee hours of the night on Wednesday, WWE re-signed him. They came to agreement on a new deal. There's a cat in my room. When did you get here, friend? Hello, buddy. So, yeah. Surprising a little bit, but it's because usually you don't just hear people be like, yeah, there was a lot of fucking rumblings happening fast, and I almost wonder if people were like, yeah, we gotta lock this guy the fuck down. Like, I know we haven't booked him at all this year, but let's, come on, we don't let him go for free. So, again, if Santos got mega paid on one of his last big contracts, good for him. Make that money while you can there, brother. But
look,
I do find it a coincidence that Rouge tweeted LFI needs to get bigger, and then like 4 hours later, this deal's announced. So,
look, I mean, it's WWE so weird with these contracts now. Like, they obviously, with TKO now, don't have not the money to sign people. They clearly have TKO money now, right?
They got all the money.
They literally have all the money. So if somebody gets let go, I mean, how does he not walk back in and not feel like he's just going to be just there to take a paycheck, right?
You never know. You never fucking
know. I would feel
so
demotivated after, like, basically, like, people had to joke about me, not even joke, had to speculate about me going somewhere else for them to even consider it, which is kind of insane, which means in their mind, they didn't think that was even an option for him, you know? Like,
yeah.
Or they would have re-signed him already. Because it's not, I'm not saying we, but like, we weren't the only people that probably talked about that as a potential idea. You know?
I saw people all on Blue Sky kind of getting excited about the idea of El Hijo del Fantasma returning to CMLL and potentially.
See, that's what I would love. It would be that, probably. That would be such a cool name to have on the roster, you know. But
there was a bunch more WWE releases this week.
Oh, Lord. I'll see if there's anybody in here we want.
Yeah, it's mainly NXT people and WWE ID people, which, you know, we didn't even cover the WWE ID thing when it happened, but I'm not surprised to say the least. That's the route it went. But there is one big one that sticks out, and that's Wesley. So Wesley is unbelievably talented. Why he was never called up, still don't know. But whatever, maybe he'll go back to being Desmond Xavier. And I believe he's still technically PWG tag team champion after all this time. So, because they were the COVID champions. So I don't know. But yeah, I mean, Wesley would make all the sense in the world. But he might just reunite with his tag team partner, who I believe is currently in TNA. So. But hey, again, anything's possible, right? But
Ever does like just like a one night PWG takeover show? Like, let's Excalibur be the GM, fucking let fucking we ball.
Look, I think so there's a chance. Excalibur, Super Dragon, just try and see what that relationship's like. See what, you know, you could even host it at the new place where they started shooting it, right? So. And then our last news bit today, Mercedes Moné is the new Body Slam Women's Champion, 10 belts Moné, AEW TBS Championship, Rev Pro Undisputed British Women's Championship, Owen Hart Foundation Women's Tournament winner, CMLL Women's Championship, EWA Women's Championship, Primetime Wrestling, Beat Ya, Discovery Wrestling Scottish Women's Championship, and Body Slam Women's title. She holds championships in the USA, England, Denmark, Austria, Italy, and Poland. My God.
I mean, look, it's at this point, it's like, when does she start losing some of these? You know, like, at some points, one of these companies is going to want somebody else, right?
I don't know.
Or maybe not. Maybe she's just a forever champion.
Legend holding your championship in what's going to be. This is a history breaking women's world, like, championship run right here. This is
industry. Like, it was already ridiculous before she even got to 8 belts, because I don't know that there's ever been a women's champion that held 2 championships at the same time before this, you know, other than like 2 indie championships, maybe, but like 2 or 3 or 4, maybe, but like never like 5 to 10, you know, like this is history for at least for women's wrestling. And
yeah,
there's like 5 men that have ever held this many championships at the same time, you know, like.
And I'm going to go as far as to say this. I think she is, like, we've mentioned this for years now. She is the greatest North American women's wrestler. What I think she's doing now, she's putting herself, she wants to be on that, you know, people always say they're Mount Rushmore of wrestling. She's clearly wants to be that for the world. So, I mean, I don't know. I just can't believe it's happening. It's so cool. It's so cool to witness. Because this is the kind of thing they talk about.
I'll put it into perspective. Because, like, you know, you say, okay, AEW is getting Mercedes Moné instead of her going back to the WWE, which was like a dream scenario in your head as an AEW fan when she and Naomi left. You know what I mean? You're like, oh my God, can you imagine she came to AEW just to say fuck you, right? And then she does. And not only is she as good as you knew she could be from the time when she was in the Fed, but she's better. I mean, I'll say it. She's better here in AEW than she's ever been anytime we ever saw her in the Fed. She was great in her runs in NXT and her match with Bayley, probably still the greatest women's match of all time and probably never going to be touched, right? But like, I don't know, dude. She's been at her peak and never even one iota ticked down ever since she's been here. And then she starts winning all these championships. And now you're in history. And it's being made as you're watching it with your eyes. And that's an entirely different thing. She is going down as the women's GOAT. There is going to be no one that can touch her. There's going to be no one that can even sniff at like a mile radius of her. You know, like it's, there is.
Like, I believe at this point, I don't think you can even compare it to anyone in North America. Like, I think genuinely she's surpassed that. She is for that. But she is going for that next level. Is it fair to say this? What's happening right now is the kind of thing you read about in the record books in 20 to 25 years. And you're like, wow, someone did that. Someone was a current champion in the World Wrestling Federation. They slammed that belt on the desk, said, fuck you, quit, went, became the first champion in the women's champion in New Japan Pro Wrestling's history. Actually, she was the second, right? But whatever. And just does that. And then you'd see it to what it is now. I just can't believe it happened. And the fact that we cover AEW is, if we get to see it every week, and it's a fucking, it is a delight. Because you're literally witnessing history. And it's just, it's cool. It's really fucking cool. So, 10 belts, dude. And know what she said on Instagram after that? She said she's keeping an eye on Wrestle Kingdom. I mean, it doesn't end. It doesn't end. And it shouldn't. It's so fucking cool.
Only time it should end, and this is my one exception. I'm not calling for this. I'm just saying this will be the one exception. Catastrophic, like, 6-month injury. If that kind of thing happens, okay, I understand. That would be a good place to be like, hey. And then all she has to do is say, yeah, I worked so much harder and outworked everybody else, like I'm Christian Cage, you know, that I literally, like, my body couldn't keep up with my abilities, you know, like, or something like that. Like, I was too good and it broke me. And then you just use that. And then she goes and gets all 10 of them back in 3 seconds and you're good, you know?
So damn cool. Yeah. If it happens, yeah, I mean, my prediction for how she's booked on AEW, right? I think across the world, she'll do what she's going to do, right? It's not AEW. But I think when she loses the TBS title on AEW, that's when she'll just kind of change her gimmick a little bit and you won't see the other ones. And I think that'll be just fair. That'll be completely fair to do. So, but until then, I'm going to enjoy every fucking moment we have because this is just so cool. And God damn it. We get to talk about her again today. So, Duke, before I throw to you, I'm going to take a little ad break here, a little 15-second, 30-second thing, and we will see you guys right back.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
That done and out of the way, Duke. It's time to get into the kind of the main course, if you will.
The nitty-gritty, if you will,
where we had AEW Title Tuesday homecoming.
All right. So, yeah, we opened up the show of Dynamite with some Hangman Adam Page and Smojo. They came face-to-face,
as AEW likes to say.
And look, I was so fucking sure, Charlie, because I'm Hangman Adam Page. He's a smart guy. He listens to people on social media. Not that he listens to us. I'm just saying that he listens to people on social media, and we don't necessarily always say things that
other people also aren't thinking, you know? And I was like, you know, Hangman's gonna sense that, you know, saying I was the most confused ever and like the other stuff that he said that we weren't like in love with. He's gonna fucking make this make sense. He has so far. You know, the Moxley one was a little fucked, but whatever. You know, we knew that was probably coming, so whatever. You know, it is what it is. That's not what happened here, Charlie. So, Hangman Adam Page.
No, it is. No.
I don't even fucking remember what Hangman said here. All I know is, at some point in between last week and the week, or maybe 2 weeks ago and now, it switched from being about Joe being pissed about the match to being like, now it's going all the way back to when he helped him, which is like, okay, fine, they helped him, but like, what is Joe saying now? Like, Joe's basically saying now, and I don't know why this is the direction Joe decided to take this. It's still good what he's saying, but I don't know why this is the direction Joe decided to take his angle on this. Is that the only reason why he even helped him at Wrestle Dream was because he knew he couldn't get it done on his own, and therefore he would then come later now, like he is now. This was his plan the whole time, Charlie. This is Joe's fucking master plan. Was to then call him out, as he did, for being a fake champion, basically. Which, I mean, look, on paper, not a terrible strategy. I didn't get that from his reaction during the match 2 weeks ago, I'll be honest with you. So.
Yeah.
And then Hangman, I don't know, I guess he just likes putting himself in a bad position with his championship, I guess.
He said the line again this week. He was like, in the same sentence, he says, I've burned a man's house to the ground, and I've never been this confused. Dude. What do you honestly think happened here?
It's crazy, too, because both of them are going to cut cutting promos, and it's not like these are bad promos. It's just, like, they picked, like, the weirdest possible angle they could pick for how this is going to come together. Like, was there even any miscommunication in the original match where they were tagging together as a trio? I don't think so, right? I think they.
I would have to really think about it, but, like, go back and watch it, but no, I don't think so. There wasn't some blatant
contact or anything
like
that. Some
blatant fucked up tag. You know, he psyched him out and, you know, tagged Hobbs in, and there was a look like, no, what the hell? No, nothing like that. He disrespected him at the end of the match. That's what Joe saw. I don't know. Joe looked cool in that suit again, but.
Yeah, no, I mean, this was a good promo segment. It was just like fucking so. I don't know are we to the point already where we have to say the beginnings of all of these fucking storylines with Hangman for this fucking, which is supposed to be his ascent fucking feud or ascent title reign, where he goes from just being a one-time champion to being maybe AEW's best champion of all time or something like that, right? How are we fucking struggling out of the gate so much on all these stories that you should be able to tell easily? Like, I could come up with 10 reasons that Joe would want this championship that I could then not have anything to do with any of this shit with the Death Riders, and also with Hangman being confused. Like, that's, I don't know where Hangman's coming at. That, I don't know. I think Hangman just says things sometimes and doesn't really think about it. Like, because that doesn't feel like the kind of thing you plan to say. I'm so confused.
And you know how I know this isn't working for people? Because I'm not seeing anyone excited about this. I'm not seeing anyone shit talk it, but we're not shit talking it either. We're just not excited. And it's because of the reason
Look,
this is
happening.
They're
going to have a good match. The fucking story is going to be weird, but we've had plenty of weird storylines to have fine matches. You know what I mean?
It's just so strange. Hangman is going to be, as of Wrestle Dream, he'll have had the world championship for over 100 days. Like, what the fuck have we done in this time? It's so weird.
But think about the three storylines, man. John Moxley basically tricked him into fucking giving him a world title shot. And MJF tricked him into not using his world title shot. And now, Joe has fucking rage baited him into a title shot.
Yeah.
Hangman is taking but I'm in control of my title reign.
He's in control. He was in control for the Lee Moriarty thing. That's it. We're 100 days. into the title reign of
100 days into Hangman's ascent, and we're fucking, he still hasn't made a single decision on who he's facing.
It was literally like an 18-month storyline of him turning to the dark side, killing his fucking mentor, finding the light somehow into becoming this world champion figure that AEW
this
created, needs.
Not, this was such a ridiculously over an important storyline that it spawned a new team in Skyflight. Like,
yeah.
As a consequence, you know, like.
It's just so weird. Let's just hope after Wrestle Dream, we really give Hangman a storyline. Now, it can be as simple as someone cracks him behind the head after the match, and then Hangman wants to beat his ass. It's that simple.
Ricochet.
Hangman is in
Boom.
Control
Ricochet.
Wanting
Lock
to beat
in.
Someone's
Lock
ass.
Lock it in, Ricochet.
But you know what I'm saying? It's that easy for Hangman to gain control. Yeah. The problem
no,
is he's been bent over backwards all the fucking time, or having his buddies threatened and having to drop the most ridiculous clauses. Hangman's not in control of that.
No, that's fucking
ridiculous. You sneak
ridiculous.
Attack Hangman?
And why is
he's
Hangman not
pissed
at Tony Khan for letting that go, by the way? Like,
I don't even think he realizes. Sometimes I think these just genuinely, I think they get so in the zone that they don't really take a step back, and you need to have someone else that's not as into it kind of point it out to you. Like those, you know, like the producers, if you will. So I'm sure there's people producing matches that might.
You know what the best example of this ever is? I forget which Money in the Bank it was, but fucking. No, it wasn't even Money in the Bank. It's the John Cena story. It's Edge and Chris Jericho were backstage. Remember the Nexus getting deleted by John Cena in one on six or whatever? Fucking, yeah. Or whatever it was, 1-on-3, whatever. Like, you know, he fucking beats Wade Barrett and whoever the hell else it is, like 1-on-2 or whatever it is, and just deletes the Nexus. They told John, like, hey, dude, you kind of tunnel visioned on this. You don't need to beat them here. You probably have them win here. Otherwise, what does this even mean, you know? Like, and he locked too hard in. And John Cena is one of the best wrestlers of all time, like, straight up. Like, at least in terms of being over and mic work, and definitely he's better in ring than a lot of people ever gave him credit for. But, like, even he can tunnel vision and fuck up and not realize that he's steering the fucking ship in the wrong direction, you know? Like...
Yeah.
As much as we want to pretend like it was always Vince, I mean, Vince had a vision, but if you leaned into that vision, he was just going to go with it, you know? So, and sometimes people do that. So maybe Hangman's just leaning too much into what they want to do right now, and it's just not coming off the right way, because that can happen. So, I mean, you really can tunnel vision sometimes doing anything, and not even just being a wrestler, so.
And, you know, I will give him some credit for the Kyle Fletcher thing. He did demand Fletcher do something with the TNT title.
You know what? That's the one time he's been
he
in
He did
control.
Call the shot, so we got to be fair to that.
If the rest of the title reign's like that, we're good. Maybe, you know what? Yeah. You know what? Maybe that's a call for the rest of this title reign. It should just be young guys he's facing. Maybe that's what it should be. And that would be great for the title. I mean, it'll make it feel like it's more important, like all these young guys, that's the fucking goal they want to reach, but it's so unattainable for these young guys. And then you could bring in somebody like maybe fucking, I don't know, a really wily old veteran like fucking Samoa Joe to then maybe be the one to take it off of him after he's defeated all these young guys. But you can't do that now. Yeah. You're doing Joe now. So.
And I think the perfect way we can sum this all up is, why do we care so much about this? Is because the world champion, what's happening with Hangman is, it doesn't feel like he is the one holding the belt. He's being made to feel like he's almost chasing repeatedly in his feuds. And I think it just, that is.
Is there a fear that if he's not on the chase, that he won't be as over? Because I think that's fucking
ridiculous. No, because
ridiculous.
Look at Kyle Fletcher and look at Lee Moriarty. They've done this already. He's fine. It's just this weird thing of how he won this title and his ascent as the big babyface. Embrace it, man. Look what you did in Mexico with him. Let him be the guy. Just, he can be, let him sling his fucking Johnson all around the ring. You know what I mean?
Whoa.
He's earned it, though. So, it's just so weird. I think you don't need to have guys doing this to get feuds going with them. It's literally, he can just be like, there's a million ways you can do it. But, yeah. So, it's weird. But, like you said, the match on Saturday will be fun. So.
Yeah, I mean. Highlights of this is like, you know, I still can't believe what Hangman actually said in this, which is that he's giving him a title shot because he feels like he owes him for what he did with the Death Riders. That is such a fucking, I'm sorry, that's dumb. I'm sorry. That's annoying. Why are we, what? fuck are you talking about, Hangman?
It's those logic inconsistencies that is just really annoying right now with him.
The conglomeration conglomerated backstage. Kyle! I just wrote that in my notes here. He didn't actually even say that much in this segment. I just wrote he's the GOAT. So he must have just had so much aura standing in the background of the segment that I just thought he was the GOAT. So, and Roddy didn't put his hand into the conglomeration, you know, hand thing.
I almost wonder with how the conglomeration works, if there's going to be a week where they all just start like doing what Roddy does, and then he'll realize how silly he looks and it'll bring him back to the light. I'm not even kidding.
I'm
wouldn't
down.
That just be perfect for them?
Look, it doesn't seem like we're pulling the trigger on the Paragon being bad guys anytime soon, which they really need to do.
No, yeah, I don't think you need
to.
I think you can do a thing where Roddy's in a funk and the conglomeration. This could honestly be like a legit thing. You know, you could relate this to a lot of things.
Yeah.
They got to pull their friend out of a funk.
Yeah, it happens.
And I think it could be a romantic, enjoyable storyline.
Yes.
Or he can just start beating the crap out of all of them. And, you know, I'm cool with that,
too. I still think there's a possibility of him joining the Death Riders. Not just because of his wife, but I mean, it's you know, he seems like he's angry. Speaking to the Death Riders, Mox and Marina came down to the ring to take on Tomohiro Ishii. Hard-hitting stuff. Ishii's so in his bag in AEW, man. Like, he wrestles, like, on a different level here, I think, because he knows he's not getting as much opportunity over there now, you know? So this is his home now, and I love that. I feel like I see him more in AEW than I do over there. Like, I swear to God. He probably wrestles all the time in Japan, and I just don't know it, but to me, he's an AEW guy at this point, so. I mean, and look, and this, and he knows too. It's Mox, and so he's gonna sell for Mox like he's one of his world champions over there because he was just a world champion in AEW, you know. So I love the respect there. There's some good near falls in this. He kicked out of a paradigm shift. He got choked out. Called down. You know, the match got called by the ref because of the choke out. I like this one a lot. It wasn't like favorite level, but I thought it was pretty good. Any thoughts on that one, Charlie?
That was pretty good.
The Young Bucks are begging Tony Khan for a money match. So that's pretty funny.
They get it, man.
Yep.
They just get it.
Ooh, really good video segment here. Renee Paquette breaking down the long history or lack of history, I guess, if you want to put it that way, between Tony Storm and Chris Statlander and how they kind of intentionally never booked this match while Tony was champion because they wanted to save it for this moment, which I fucking love that, you know? I mean, they didn't say that, but I got that vibe from this, that they intentionally left that one as a singles off. For this reason. Pretty cool. So that adds a little bit of intrigue to that match. We got a recap of the triangle attacking her, Tony, and well, I think it was just her and Jamie backstage, right? And then Tony obviously gets involved later, right? Or something like that. No, sorry. Yeah. They attacked Jamie, and it was Jamie and who the fuck was the other person there? Aminata, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
But they're obviously, you know, everyone's fucking fighting the triangle of fucking madness because they're insane. So, you know. All right, and the match that I thought was going to be fucking banger, but was just fine. The Demand took on the Hurt Syndicate in a 6-man street fight. And first of all, aha! Second of all, I mean, we had Kane's Kendo Sticks. There was Plunder, but it was just like, there was like this little cool like dive off the stage. Like Ricochet took advantage of the unique stage and dove off of it in a cool way. It got a decent amount of time. Ricochet eats the pin here, you know? Like, any thoughts on this at all, Charlie, other than just, eh?
Yeah, these just haven't had the sauce you were hoping for, I think has kind of been the common vibe that I've had with these. But all that aside, what they're giving us is still guys beating the ever-living crap out of each other with their fists, with some weapons, there's some tables, right? So I think they're giving you, if you're looking for that, you're getting your fix. But it just feels like there's a little something missing with these matches. But, you know, we'll get the culmination at the pay-per-view since now they're 1-1, right? So, yeah, maybe that'll be the fix. But in terms of a television match, it's just still an enjoyable time, right? So, you know, getting all the hits in.
Yeah, 100%.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you feel like the Demand, are they starting to feel like an actual group now? Or is it still
feel like
Ricochet
like
and a couple
since they put them together? They didn't have the name yet, but I think they are. I hope okay. So anyway. Jesus.
I think they're getting there.
Okay. Sure. I mean, they need a signature win.
I think it's
win.
Just because we've seen these guys be cronies for like two other people before, so it took a little bit, but now it's starting to feel like an actual team.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
this
I
is
think
more than they, just Ricochet's
I
bodyguards.
I think they need a signature win, and maybe it'll be in this feud, or maybe they have to get away from this. I think they just need to beat somebody significant and do it, like maybe for something, maybe for a trios title shot or something. I don't know, but I really don't know, to be honest with you. So, but I agree. I think they're getting there. The Don Callis family were backstage, and they said they're going to win tonight, and they will also win all the gold at the pay per view. I mean, you know. Shout out Don Callis, I guess. Jungle Jack Perry. Not Jungle Boy anymore. No, no, no. No more boy. The boy has become a man. He's just Jungle Jack now, Charlie. First of all, thoughts on that? Jungle Jack Perry.
JR was right all along.
You know, it kind of works.
Yep. That's what he used to call him, right?
Yeah,
so
Jungle Jack.
It worked out.
Hey, look. You can't go wrong using a JR-ism. Guy was still spitting out bangers at however old he is now, and he'll be back for another pay-per-view eventually, I suspect, unless he dies, you know. So because he cares too much about the business, you know. But obviously if he can't anymore, he's given more than enough, more than probably most people ever have, you know. So guys to go. Yeah, him and Luchasaurus took on, I'm sure they had names, but I didn't write them down, so a couple of jabberoonies I wrote, and they beat them pretty quickly.
KM and Orion.
I know KM. So he's
Kevin
he's pretty
Matthews.
Good. He's pretty good, I think.
And then Orion.
So yeah, I mean, hey. You
it's
know,
like just an OVW wrestler.
Yeah, they got on the shows, you know. So shout out them. But the real story here is after the match, the Young Bucks attack and say, we're going to do what we call in the business a callback. And they smack Jack Perry in the stomach with the mic like they did on Dark 57 years ago. Or was that Dynamite? Whatever that was. It's hard to tell back then because how Dynamite looked. No offense, but you know. But yeah, the Daily's Place there. No, that was a Daily's Place thing, right? Like when the pandemic was when they did that, I'm assuming, because it's a pretty rough looking arena unless it just happened to be a Daily's Place when they did that. Anyway, Pac was backstage cutting an impassioned promo. Says he's going to make Orange Cassidy suffer. We had Kyle versus Kyle 2 Electric Boogaloo for the TNT Championship. Again, just didn't really get where I thought it would get with this one. You know, everything in Kyle's reign so far has been really good.
Yep.
This wasn't bad. It was fine. You know, it got where it needed to get.
Has a 13-minute match ever felt this rushed? And I wonder if that's the problem you had, too.
Yeah, it did feel a little rushed to me, yeah.
It felt like they were just going into, they were going through the motions, like, hitting.
Kyle, I feel like a wrestler you can't really do that with, either, because his style is meant to slow the match down a little bit. Like, I feel like you need, I've seen, you know, this might have been the problem with the original Roddy match that we didn't like that he had, you know? Because that one also felt like it didn't get like the time that it needed, you know, like, so I don't know. Maybe it's just something with Kyle. They just don't give him Kyle O'Reilly where they just don't give him the time for some reason. I don't know why, but yeah, it was fine. It wasn't crazy. What I guess is significant here is we have a post-match beatdown by the Don Callis family. Mark Briscoe's music hits, and then we get a standoff between Briscoe and Kyle Fletcher, which my assumption now is that that will be the match going into the pay-per-view probably, Charlie. Actually, didn't they announce it or something? I don't even know. But
yes, they did.
So yeah, so that'll be the match going into the pay-per-view. I think Mark Briscoe's more than earned this. I mean, you know, so like, would you agree?
Yeah. So that, do you think we go back to the MJF feud, or is it just kind of left like that?
Depends on what MJF wants to do when he gets back, because the last we heard of MJF was, well, I want to go in a different direction when I come back, get back to being MJF, right? So that could mean beat the guy that you couldn't beat, or it could also mean going in a different direction completely. So we will have to, I'll put a pin in that for now because I do not know. It'll depend on what MJF wants to do when he comes back. Oh yeah, I have it written down in my notes. They literally made the match. They cut back from commercial. Fletcher's interviewed by, I think it's Renee or somebody anyway, and they're like, hey, Tony Khan just made the match, and he's like, and they're like, fuck. So, yep. All right, Mercedes Moné taking on a mystery opponent here. Turns out to be Lacey Lane for the TBS Championship. I thought this one had some spice to it. I thought Lacey sold well. Got something. Can't put my finger on it. Don't know what it is. You know, that's one of the best things that I can say about a wrestler when I've never seen them before, Charlie, is when I say they've got something, but I don't know what it is. Yeah, I thought this was a pretty solid little TV match to debut slash, you know, defense of the title and, you know, a nice little addition to the show here. Do you have any particular thoughts on this? Did something, anything stick out to you about like Lacey or about the match, anything like that, Charlie?
Yeah, not something we were trying to guess a bunch of people's names. Did not cross my mind that it could be her. But yeah, Lacey's been around for a long time. Saw her a bunch at the NXT shows when they would tape them at Full Sail when I was able to go to those. So that was, she was always really cool and she was really good. He's a very nice person too. So yeah, I was excited when they got this opportunity, and I thought the match was good. She's got some fire to her, and I think that stuck out a lot. So I like Danielson's commentary in this match. I thought it really stuck out. Him kind of really emphasizing how important Mercedes title reign is to wrestling. And I think Danielson, if he keeps this up and he kind of gives it, like, you know, what would happen to the wrestling world if Lacey Lane won tonight? Right. So I don't know. I think more and more
we can do this in wrestling. Happens. Like the Hornets have that guy that goes nuts for every fucking shot. Right. We could have that for fucking Danielson. Could be like the biggest Mercedes fan ever. I'm so down.
Like, he could just, I think he respects great wrestling, and that's what his character should do, right? Because at the end of the day, it's still going to be a character on commentary for the most part. So,
I mean, people will say I'm crazy for this. The closest in technical ability that women's wrestling has ever had is her. It's literally, if there's ever been a technical wrestler on the level of Danielson, it could do the things that Danielson could do that nobody else can do. Like, it might be Mercedes, and that might be the innumerable thing that you can never quite put your finger on, what makes Mercedes so great. Because, you know, you have a Ricochet, you have like athletic, like Ricochet, like wrestlers in the women's division too. And you have, I'm sure if we really pieced it together, we could find like a subtle, like Will Ospreay type, Kenny Omega type, just unbelievably athletically talented, but also really good at going technically as well. I'm sure we could find somebody like that, but Mercedes hits that level that you just can't. It's like Zach, you look at Zach and you're like, well, Zach's not the, like, he's not the one that everyone's going to want to sign as their 1A wrestler to be the top guy in their company necessarily, right? But you can't deny what he does. And if you were to have him in your company, you could not keep him away from the world championship. And Mercedes is the same way. Danielson was always the same way. And Danielson seemed like he tried to avoid that championship for as long as he could, because he had plenty of opportunities where it would have been really easy to put it on him, you know? And they didn't. Because they knew they didn't have to, you know? You never have to even have a championship on Mercedes. She's just on that level. So it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm totally down for them to have that sort of connection. Good stuff. Beast Mortos was backstage with Sammy Guevara. And they say, like, Eddie, you're a crook, you're a crony, and we're going to beat you this week. They cut to Eddie backstage, Kingston. And he says, Sammy, why are you doing this again, man? Last week you talked shit and I beat the shit out of your boy. And now I'm going to do it again. What is wrong with you? And that was literally it. That's all he said. He said, talk shit, get hit, Sammy. When they actually fight, it's going to be legendary, right? You think that'll be a pay-per-view match? Or like Ring of Honor?
Yeah, I don't know. Tailgate brawl, probably.
Oh, come on. All right. Kanesuke Takeshita, Kazuchika Okada took on Bandido and Brody King in a double jeopardy match. Okada snubbed Takeshita on the entrance. Basically, the whole vibe here was anything you can do, I can do better. And I mean, when it's the two best Japanese wrestlers in the world, yeah, they win. That's how that works, you know? When it's two of the five best wrestlers in the world, maybe top six wrestlers in the world at least, you know, if you want to bump Okada down or something because of some other guys. But like, two of the top 10 wrestlers in the world on a tag team. I mean, it's like when you put Will and Kenny together and, oh my God, did I just make a match? Oh Lord, Charlie. Oh my.
Mm-hmm.
How many? Holy shit. That match needs to happen now, Tony Khan. Make it happen. But holy fuck. Oh my God. And they're both former Don Callis.
I mean, we're basically there when we had Proto Shida versus Will and Kenny. I mean, it was that good.
We might need to do this version now too. Or... Anyway, I don't know that. Sorry about that sidetrack there, but yeah, and you know, once it kind of popped off and it sort of became like mega party fun, you know, and that's always really good. There was the super dumper Blue Thunderbomb, I'm going to call it, when he hit the Blue Thunderbomb on Takeshita hit it on Brody King, so it's the super dumper Blue Thunder, and then Takeshita accidentally takes out Okada at one point, but it didn't cost them the match, you know, because like I said, they're the goats, so they end up picking up the win here. Your thoughts on this match? I mean, it was obviously a really good match. They now have the title shot, Charlie. I mean, is there anything to stop them from winning these tag team titles?
Yeah, the only thing it could is too much gold, right? But yeah, what an awesome pairing. I think this was an appetizer for the pay-per-view. Probably why, you know, it just didn't get our favorites of the week, but it was a damn good match. I think the pay-per-view match is going to be insane. I had one note on the last segment. Hook and Eddie Kingston still partnered up. Has it gone anywhere for you yet, or is it still just kind of like whatever?
No, not until they do anything with it. I mean, they've tagged once, haven't they? Have they been in a tag match yet? If they haven't, they'll probably tag at some point. I don't know. I view this like I do every other one of Hook's tag partners to this point. It'll be what it's going to be. You know,
exactly. I don't know what the fuck to do with it, but it's still one of the weirdest pairings we've had yet. But no, I mean, Brody and Bandido. So following up last week's thing we had in the news about Bandido and his injury, again, I think he looked fine here. This is, it's just one of those kind of injuries where it's going to be painful for him.
Yeah, he does look like he's in pain, but that just makes his selling look better. So, you know, it sucks painful for him, but it looks
it's very painful
better
for him, but he'll be okay with this specific injury. So, all right, I guess it's my turn then, huh? Butteroo. Bucklet Bon Bigelow.
Let me think. Jetspeed and Willow were backstage ready for Collision. FTR and Stoke didn't have any jokes this time, just threatened some people. Top God's out. That's where we got that first name. And then Brody just said they're never going to stop fighting. So,
yeah. And then we had that awesome ender where Dynamite ended on a fucking heater.
Can I just say, I know this is going to sound crazy, this cold open to Collision fucking really didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, they're trying to preview the night. And again, a lot of great talent on the show tonight. But we open up with Josh Alexander versus Kota Ibushi, which got a little. The news broke on social media Wednesday when they taped this. Kota Ibushi got injured. I'm like, shit. What does that mean? What are we talking? And then we hear rumblings of a stretcher. And it's like, Jesus, what happened? Well, we're getting really excited for this match, and look, I thought it was going pretty well.
It was
well.
One of those, like, I didn't even know this match was happening, and you were like, yeah, Kota Ibushi versus Josh Alexander, and I was like, what?
Yeah, on paper, easily would have been our favorites, but, you know, as we're about to get into it, ended a little early, so, yeah, I mean, it was going well. Ibushi was really laying the fucking wood on him. Josh was just kind of being this bastard, if you will. I was really enjoying the match. I mean, Josh had this moment here that really stuck out to me, Duke, where he's like punching Ibushi in the head. And then every time he hits him, Ibushi gets back up, punches him in the head, gets back up. Like, all right, this is really cool. I got straight fucking temple shot. Like, okay, I'm up for this. He goes to the top turnbuckle. Tries to jump off. Ibushi catches him with a fighter with a fisherman suplex. Diving knees. He kicks out. Ibushi hits a pump kick. Alexander slams him in the jaw into the ring apron. Alexander goes for a big lariat. It's a two count. And then he puts Ibushi up on the top turnbuckle. It looks like he's going to hit Death Valley Driver. Alexander loses his balance. And Ibushi ends up going backwards onto the barricade from above the top rope. And they show him clutching his leg. And the ref starts a countdown, and Josh Alexander wins via countout.
And like, I don't know anything about wrestling, but from what I know about Ibushi, the type of fall he took here is so unlike him that I just, and it's not Josh's fault. I would be really shocked if Josh just lost control of him, you know, like, so my thought is Ibushi was, maybe they were supposed to do some kind of, you know, suplex kind of type deal. Obviously some kind of move that based on the fact that
I think it was a Death Valley Driver.
Yeah, like, I don't know that he should have been taking that move anyway based on the fact that he gets hurt here. Maybe he was, I'm not saying that he was already on the, like, on the verge of being hurt or something. I have no idea, right? But, like, clearly, I don't think that move would have gone well for him either based on how this goes. Maybe it's a way safer move to the outside than I realized. Who knows, right? Maybe it would have even just been onto the apron, which, obviously, we've seen people take that move before. It hurts, probably, but, maybe would have been fine. But this fall, I mean, you know, it just, bad situation, bad circumstances, and it sucks. And I mean, I'm not going to have the conversation of, is this guy made of glass? I mean, if he is, that sucks, because he's really fucking talented, and honestly has never, outside of his like early time in New Japan where he was very dominant, I feel like I've never seen a Bushi run that I was like, fuck yeah, this guy's like the top guy, you know? And I feel like AEW was a place where he could maybe do that. I don't know if he could have been world champion. I mean, do you think he could have been world champion at some point? I have no idea. Like, you know, but he definitely could have been at least a mid-card champion and been a really fucking good one. But like, and now I'm questioning, is this guy ever going to get an opportunity, or is he just going to be mired by injuries for the rest of his time here? And it kind of is a really sad conversation that we have to have now, you know?
Yeah. So I think this is the definition of a freak injury, right? Obviously, they slipped and he had to go to the outside. He was falling to the outside. Well, and he wasn't prepared for it. And it sounds like he broke his femur. I mean, I think he's been in AEW and he's gotten injured three times. This is his third injury already in AEW. Absolutely fucking brutal that this happened. It's, yeah, I'm with you. I feel like we're not, I feel like we got cheated out of a Kota Ibushi run. And it sucks for him because I guarantee he has seemed so motivated to be wrestling again. And I just, you can't help but feel bad for him and just wish him the best. I mean, this really sucks.
Hey, so, I mean, he's genuinely like, when he's at his best, he's like a top 20 wrestler in the world, probably, you know, like, and maybe even top 15. It just depends on your personal list, you know, like, and it's just sad when you know someone's that talented and you could put them against just about anybody, if not anybody, and you're going to get a great match. And it just, it fucking doesn't work out because of shit like this. And it's like, it's unfortunate. Hopefully, maybe, I mean, broken legs are so fucking bad. It's just like, you know, like, at least in terms of recovery time, because the whole fucking thing has to regrow and has to set back in properly. And yeah, I mean, in theory, it should be stronger than it was before, right? Like, but sucks. The recovery is not going to be fun either. So I just hope he, yeah. I hope he's okay, you know?
Exactly.
You know his boy Kenny's going to take care of him, you know?
Yeah, they ran a post-match angle with Mark Davis, and that drew Kenny out. And it was a real injury. So, Mark Briscoe promo setting up his match.
I mean, you can see it on Kenny's face that something was not right, you know? Kenny looked concerned, you know?
Absolutely. Max Caster and Anthony Bowens versus Big Bill and Brian Keith. Bowens and Caster were getting the crowd's attention, flashing 8x10s and all that.
God, I'm such an asshole this week. I don't fucking care about this repairing of the Acclaimed. It's so fucking forced. Oh my fucking God.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying. That's all we can really give them here. It just sucks because I feel like, again, we were cheated out of an Anthony Bowens babyface solo reign run, and I think the bitterness,
I mean, let's
of
be
getting,
real, did he get more than five matches since they made him a fucking singles
wrestler?
No, he didn't.
And the fact that he didn't is why I think we are inadvertently salty against this reunion, because I feel cheated. Feel fucking cheated about it. So
maybe they're playing us. Maybe we're just getting worked right now, and that the whole gimmick is they're gonna get some kind of big pay-per-view fucking street fight match, and they're gonna turn on each other, and then that's gonna just be where we go.
But either way, they were bickering all match. They kind of created some fun tendencies throughout the match, which they actually got the pin. They got the win. So they actually ended up, again, there was a blind tag hit.
But they're
2-0
since they got back together, I guess. So, yeah. You know.
Keith got hit with a hard right, and Bowens fell on him for the pin. So you can slip on a banana peel and win. But it was a pretty funny win there. But again, I think the crowd was enjoying the pairing again.
It's because, like, the crowd's always going to like these two together more than they are going to part, because they haven't gotten a chance to actually like each other apart. And my proof of this is, look at how over fucking Max Caster got doing his, let's go, yes. Max, you're the best. So they can do stuff solo. Weirdly, they were way more willing to pull the trigger on Max Caster than they were on Anthony Bowens. And I just don't understand that. I mean, not that I'm saying you couldn't have done both. And
he had the new song, the new getup, the five tool player, the pride of pro wrestling, big pay-per-view debut. And it just never gave it a chance. Sucks. But yeah, they got the win here. It's nice to see him getting some wrestling time again, though. So they're not just completely off TV. Bang Bang Gang cuts a promo in the back. Big Bill and Brian wander by. Gang asked if they wanted to get active, but they just walked away. Bang Bang Gang are feeling great. They like the new member, so let's get those guys wrestling together next week, huh? This week, if you will.
Down
Ty J, one of our got to be one of the favorites for the
tag. Still, still my favorite, right? For winning this, I would say.
Everyone's a favorite, but they got to be, right? Ty Mello and Anna Jay versus Carolina.
They're the reason these titles exist. They've been pushing for it since they came in, basically, you know? So, I mean, if anybody should be the favorite, in my opinion, it should be them because they're the reason why they exist.
And Nigel making sure to mention they're 1-0 since announcing the tag titles. So Dream Girl Ellie kind of got fucking slaughtered. She got sentenced to the realm of death. The Angel of Death, Dream Girl Ellie. I got you.
That's her gimmick right there.
Raised knee slam, 2-0. Easy money.
Preview Nightmare Girl title. Ellie.
Here we go.
Joining the triangle of nightmares.
Lexi interviews the conglomeration. Fletcher was mentioned.
Of rage.
Jesus. Kyle mentioned that he hated there was another Kyle. Roddy addressed Moxley. Challenged him anytime, anywhere. Just let him know. Willow said that she's going to back up Jet Speed in their match tonight. The Demand would take on the Hurt Business in a trios match on Dynamite.
Wait, there's yada, still yada, not yada. Done?
I know. Darby Allin attacks Jon Moxley at New York Comic Con. The Death Riders then cut a promo about how Allin needs to die.
Is that what the pay-per-view is? Darby Allin's going to get killed?
They said, this is extreme, but we are the Death Riders. And he called out a pack then, you piece of crap! He's an absolute piece of fucking dribbling crap! Moxley says, wrap things up next time he sees Allin. He gets his face smashed in. I just like to remind everyone, Tony Khan doesn't own the Death Riders. Jon Moxley owns the Death Riders. And the fact that he does, it makes me giggle because I'm always like, he can take Death Riders wherever he wants.
Yeah,
he
and in theory, if he wanted to be an asshole, he could make Tony Khan pay him for the rights to use it on his show. Maybe he does. I don't know.
When something like this happens at Comic-Con, it gets my brain just rolling. I'm like, what could Jon Moxley do with this?
I mean, like, in theory, Jon Moxley could start his own promotion and use the Death Riders as its primary faction. You know, he could make.
Are we going to get? And I mean this. I wonder if Darby is going to be wrestling some indie match, and you're going to actually have the Death Riders booked on the card using all their stuff because it's all him, like, right?
The amount of people that came out of what's that place over in where Darby's from?
Defy.
So, and Darby's wrestled there. Darby's got a great relationship there. We know Brian Danielson probably knows some people that work at Defy, you know, and I'm sure wrestled there at some point or would have if he'd gotten to it, you know, like, yeah, I think that would be the place to do it. I feel like because they've done stuff with Defy in the past, you know, if he's going to wrestle at Defy anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm in. I saw that pop up on the sky this week and I was thinking, damn, that's fucking cool. He can do this wherever he wants, taking it to Comic-Con and shit. I'm like, all right, come on. That's fucking cool. Statlander, Tony Storm, and Harley Cameron versus the Triangle of Madness. Harley came out dressed like a giant heart. She's precious cargo. Protect her. Storm and Statlander, they meet for a Wrestle Dream. Can they coexist? So the Triangle was like unbelievably serious. They were ready to beat the crap out of them. No giggling here from their group. Good match. Solid match. Statlander fucking picked up Sky Blue and held her in the air for 30 seconds, slammed her to the mat. Pretty good stuff there. But, yeah, getting used to Statlander with that title. It always looks cool. It's a good look. Tekla got hit with a spear, or Tekla hit a spear on Harley Cameron and got the victory. So,
Triangle Madness. Gore. Come on now.
Picked up a big victory. You know, God, she hit a gore. I'll give it to you. But, so, good stuff. Harley Cameroon. Kenny sends a message to the Don Callis and his family. He says they're ending nature of the rivalry. He's interrupted by Jungle Jack Perry. Perry said he just wants to say he's got his back. And he's more than suspicious, but Perry said he can't change the past, but he and Omega have some of the same enemies. They said he doesn't give a fuck about Perry or his big dumb dinosaur. And Perry wants to prove he can be trusted to see Omega, see me at Dynamite, and then he throws him out. I don't give a fuck about you or your big dumb dinosaur. It's all like, right, buddy.
Jesus Christ, the hell? Kenny. We're pissing Kenny's fucking cornflakes.
He had some fucking Manitoba moose knuckles. All right, Harley Cameron and Chris Statlander interviewed about their loss. And Harley's asking Stat to be her tag partner, but she has to focus on the women's world title now. He's going to suggest another partner for her when Yuta walks in to make fun of them. Tony Storm arrive, and they all start yelling at each other. And Yuta's just like, what the hell's going on? Yuta, wrong place, wrong time? Or he chose the proper place, proper time. You never know what that sly bastard. He's always up to something. Keep an eye on that Yuta. Keep an eye on that Yuta. MXMXTV. They're making casting call open challenge. Talking about seeds. Mansoor grabs a mic, ran down the crowd. Casting call will continue tonight if anyone's interested. A trio, in fact. Called La Facción Ingobernable. Rouge, Sammy, and Jalisco go just beat the shit out of them.
Yeah, they beat their ass.
A Mansoor got pinned with the Swanton Bomb. Eddie Kingston heading to the ring. And he starts fighting Beast Mortos. Mortos took off his sunglasses. If you wore a mask like that in wrestling and you don't put on sunglasses, all of a sudden, you might not be cool anymore. When he puts sunglasses on that mask, that's the coolest guy in the room.
Yeah. Bow I mean, he's also dating Mercedes Moné, which is like, fucking...
Bow down to the Mortos.
This guy is fucking... He's chilling, you know what I mean? Like,
so, yeah, it got going pretty good here. They start throwing some good strikes. Kingston's hitting some good chops. Some ducking and fucking, some knees are going on. There's choking on the ropes.
They beat the piss out of each other.
Yeah, everything you kind of expect from this. Kingston at one point hit a really good reverse neck breaker that Mortos kicks out at.
Glad to have Eddie back, man. He's so fun. He's so good in the ring. He's classic. That fucking All Japan flavor that I love that gets brought back into AEW when he's here.
His hand bit by Mortos, and I mean, that could almost be a finisher. But sends him into the ropes. Kingston kicks out after the spear. A twisting moonsault gets dodged.
Bro, I need the new wrench. rebuilt bigger, stronger, more angrier, dinosaurier fucking Luchasaurus to just at some point when they're facing some jobbers to just like the guy tags in and he just roars at him, dinosaur roar, and he just immediately runs and tags out.
The guy pisses himself on command. Hire an actor. Kingston got him with the back fist though. Good stuff. 4-0. Again, I didn't mind that match. It was good. It was a well short match that good pace to it. Eddie's finding his groove again, right? I think that's the most confident thing.
I fully expect him to have a match against either Sammy or something like that, either on the pay-per-view, on Ring of Honor, something, TV match, something. I want to have a big match with Eddie. Eddie's really fun.
Well, what do we got next? This week, Dynamite and Collision are back-to-back on Wednesday. Trios titles, the Ops defend against LFA. Please. Kenny Omega and Jurassic Express versus Yosh Alexander, Hechicero, and Mark Davis.
I'm glad to see Mark Davis back.
Definitely. Jon Moxley and Darby Allin face-to-face. Hurt Syndicate versus GOA.
All right, we've had a flamethrower. The last two confrontations with Darby and Jon. Last three, if you really think about it. Darby, the last time before that, Darby threw the guy almost into a train track, you know? Then he pulled out a fucking flamethrower. Then he pulled out a taser and a Molotov cocktail. What's Darby pulling out next week?
A gun.
Yes. Is it when we reached the point where Darby has to pull out the fucking AR?
It's the live round they said was going to eventually happen on AEW. We're fucked. Shit. It's happening. Shit. Claudio versus Roddy. Dude. Okay. Claudio and Roddy.
Wait, hear me out. You know, okay, here's how you get away with having a gun and you're shooting it on AEW. You get one of those fucking starting guns from racing, you know, from like fucking foot racing, and you have it painted like a real gun, and you fucking just, you have the lights all cut out as soon as you have the gun shoot, and you just hear the gunshot sound with darkness, and the show just cuts and just goes to darkness, and the show ends.
I'm so in. I would just get one of those fucking swords from Halo and stab the guy.
Hey.
Who says no? Claudio and Roddy's gonna hump. Statlander and Tony Storm, famous last words. Yuta and Garcia versus Orange Cassidy and Kyle 2. Sky Blue versus Jamie Hayter. Good stuff. Really good looking shows. Yeah,
there should be some fun. The Dynamite / Collision combination plus a tailgate fuckfest.
And then we got Wrestle Dream, which they've... We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 matches so far, including 2 tailgate
that
brawls.
That might be all of them, honestly, I mean, unless they just added a couple more to make up for the fact there's a couple on the brawl, you know, but brawl might just be pre-show, so.
Similar to last week, what we'll do is we'll just do our show we'll have a show out before Saturday night. That way we're all caught up, and you know, it'll technically be three podcasts this week on this. So yeah.
So lock in.
If you guys are enjoying that, I feel like there's more new people checking in every day. I hope you enjoyed today's show. You know, and we will be back Thursday. So you're getting today on Tuesday, Thursday upload around the same time this one, and then got the Saturday post pay-per-view, post Wrestle Dream, Samoa Joe two-time world champ. That'd be cool. But Samoa Joe two-time world champ, it's going to be a great time. So if you're just catching us,
you know, unironically, I know you're going to hate me for saying this. If Joe wins this title, I'm actually not mad about it because of how shittily they've handled this beginning of this title reign. Like,
I wouldn't be I wouldn't be too upset. So we, on that note, everybody, we will catch you guys on the flip side.
Tom freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
What have we here?
Go fuck yourself.
And I am a sports entertainer.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.